Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What will we be? What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A large family of larvae were living at the bottom of a pond. One day they held a meeting to talk about a problem that had bothered them for years. This was the problem. Every time a member of their family climbed to the top of the water, lily stem, up the surface of the pond, no one ever saw them again. They made a solemn promise to each other. They promised that the next one to climb a water lily stem would come back and tell the rest of the family all about it, what it was like up there at the top. Well, soon one of the older larvae started to feel this urge growing inside of him, an urge to climb the water lily stem right through the pond's surface. Up the stem he went, and in a few minutes he was safe and sound on top of the water lily pad, drying in the sun. He looked around and saw a hungry old frog catching flies for his dinner. Is this what happened to all of our friends, he wondered? Is that why they never came back? He was just about to climb back down again when something strange began to happen to him. As the sun grew hotter, he began to change. He was changing into something new, something he never dreamed of. He was becoming a dragonfly. Soon he was skimming over the surface of the pond. It was wonderful. He felt so free. But then he looked down into the darkness of the pond and he remembered his promise. I must go back and tell them all about this, he thought to himself, and dived down to the surface of the pond. But when he hit the surface, he found he could not get through. It was as if there was a skin covering the water, too thick for him to break through. So that was why no one had ever come back to tell the others. He was sorry he could not keep his promise, but he understood why. Then he saw two other things. First, he saw that even if he had gone back to tell them, they would not have understood. And he saw that it was impossible for him to live in the cold and darkness of the pond. He had changed, totally changed. Now he could not live that way. And if he was really honest, he did not want to leave this glorious life in the warmth of the sun. He loved his new life, his new body, his new freedom so much that he did not want to go back and live in such a limited way again. There are lots of people who live in this pond we call Earth, who say that when we come to the end of this life, there's nothing. Or if they don't say it, that is how they live, as if this life was all there is. For people like that, death is like a hungry old frog swallowing us up into blackness. But we Christians say, no, that's not true. Because we believe and trust in Jesus, we know that when we pass from the darkness of life in the pond to the glory of life beyond death, there will be a great transformation. We will be changed into something beyond our wildest imaginations. St. Paul wrestled with this when in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he wrote, "Someone may ask, how will the dead be brought back to life again? What kind of bodies will they have?" What a foolish question. Look at your own garden if you want to find the answer. You put a seed into the ground, but that seed does not grow into a plant unless it first dies. Then, when the green shoot comes out of the ground, it is very different from the seed you first planted. Very different indeed. God has given it a beautiful new body, just like the kind He wants it to have. That is how it will be with us. These earthly bodies will be very different from our heavenly bodies when we come back to life again. Here our bodies are natural human bodies, and there they will be supernatural spiritual bodies. And Paul said all this because this is what happened to Jesus at the resurrection. And in many ways, what happened to Jesus' body will happen to ours when we go home to heaven. I know that lots of people scoff at this and say, show us your proof. Show us that what you are saying is not pie in the sky when you died. Well, Easter Day gives us that proof. It is as if Jesus went to the other side of the surface of the pond and then did not come back to tell the tale. He told them, "Examine me to see if it is really me. Look at my body and see if it's real. I am not a ghost." And they did. And they found that this man, Jesus, whose body had been killed on a cross, was alive again in a body that was a real flesh and blood body, a body that could eat bread and drink wine, and yet a body which was also very different. His body could pass through locked doors. It had no limitations. His body could live quite easily in heaven and just as easily on earth. It was a supernatural body, which after Ascension Day vanished from their sight as he went back to his Father in heaven. I'll finish with two wonderful promises. This first is about our future. St. John tells us in chapter 3, verse 2, we cannot even imagine what we are going to be like later on, but we do know this, that when Jesus comes again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The second is for here and now. St. Paul tells us that we who believe in Jesus already have a guarantee, or a down payment on the powers of the age to come. Or, as a colleague once said, it is not pie in the sky when you die, it is steak on your plate while you wait. This first letter of St. John summarizes the gospel's teaching on believing in God as revealed through Jesus, the human Christ, and Jesus, the God, and on loving one another, which should naturally follow from living as genuine children of God. Our relationship with God guides us in our relationships with other people who are also struggling through a difficult world. C.S. Lewis once wrote that too often we think that sanctification is all about sort of like taking a horse and training it to run a little faster than it used to run. In actuality, Lewis noted, what happens to us as believers once we become engrafted onto Christ is not like taking a regular old horse and teaching it to run faster. but more like taking a horse, outfitting it with a pair of wings, and teaching the creature to fly. The saved life in Christ is not just any old life made a little bigger or brighter. It is to take a human life and transform it into a whole new mode of existence. Grace saves, but grace also transforms. If we keep abusing people, keep hurting and hating people, if we keep committing adultery, stealing, and lying, if we have no desire to stop such activity, or at least to confess that it is wrong, you have chosen to not live in grace. This is a different world that has nothing to do with being children of the Heavenly Father. The main issue in 1 John is the assurance of salvation, how we can know for sure that we have been saved. 1 John 5 verse 13 summarizes this point. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John gives us tests to help us know with more certainty that we have eternal life. You can know you are a child of God if you do right. And no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he is born of God. Verse 10 of this chapter summarizes one of those tests and introduces another. This is how we know who the children of God are and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. And then, those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. It is by the Spirit he gave us. John's claims about God's children not continuing to sin may sound a bit ostentatious. Listen to this poem by Maya Angelou. She puts things in the right perspective. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not shouting, I'm clean living. I'm whispering, I was lost. Now I'm found and forgiven. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't speak with pride. I'm confessing that I stumble and need Christ to be my guide. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not holier than thou. I'm just a simple sinner who received God's good grace somehow. Amen.